This fear has driven people to be scared to do anything. Even the very fact of like they're paralyzed. People are paralyzed by this, and this isn't right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to U.S. Grace Force Podcast here. Doug Barry with my good friend, Father Richard Heilman. We've got a great guest on tonight, the illustrious and very well-known Terry Barber. But before we get into Terry and his story and why he's with us on this show, this episode, we're going to turn over to Father and get that most important prayer going first.
Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Father. All right. So Terry and I have been friends a long time. Go back a long way, back when we met in prison. Just so you know, Terry was in residence and I was visiting and doing some, you know, evangelization. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's not where we met. Terry is the founder of St. Joseph's Communication. St. Joseph's was around for a long time. Also involved in the Lighthouse program. Anybody's familiar with seeing the little Lighthouse stands in the backs of churches where you've got the CDs and DVDs on those. Terry's originator of a lot of that. He's just been really all over the place with evangelization. And Terry and I became good friends when he started to invite me out to his conferences in California to do the passion meditation primarily. And then we do work with youth and give other talks. But I know Terry, you're just the guy who's been behind. I mean, by the grace of God, you've been used to reach out to so many people through other speakers like Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, Father Donald Calloway, Eric Jenis, musician, friend of ours both, and so many other people you've been involved in helping to promote and get their work out back when it was cassette tapes and then it was CDs, DVDs, and then downloads. And so you've been involved in this for a long time, evangelization in general.
Well, Doug, I have, through the grace of God, and any good that I've done comes from God, and I thank him for it. But it was really Bishop Fulton Sheen who really got me motivated in the 1970s to really fired me up to become an evangelist. And I was at his funeral back in the late 70s. And then after the funeral, I said, this man needs to go on radio. And I've been involved with Catholic radio. I mean, Jesse Romero and myself have a radio show daily on Virgin Most Powerful. And so I just have a heart because people need to know the person of Christ. And they need to fall in love with Jesus and his bride, the church. And that's what we've been trying to be consistent for over 40 years.
Yeah, and I got to say real quick that, the Virgin Most Powerful Radio, I've been fortunate to be on your program several times. And I know you and I worked a lot together. Jesse's a good friend, and he's been on our program here as well, Grace Force program. And sometimes I hear, like I'll be in my office here in my home, and I hear you and Jesse's voices in the hallways here. Because my wife is playing your program sometimes. So it's great. And it's great, you know, because we're very much, I know, on the same page with regards to what's going on in our world, the church and evangelization. And we having you on the program, I know there's some several things we really wanted to address.
Sure.
But, just to let you know, you've been doing amazing work. Thanks be to God. And you and Jesse, I want to tell people again, as you just mentioned, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. It's an internet program. Or it's an internet station, basically. You've got several programs on there. You cover a number of different things, which is great. I know Jesse's got another show on there as well, at least one. I mean, you guys just give us a quick rundown of some of the programs you have on.
Well, we have five programs, and we're on Stations of the Cross on the East Coast. We're on about 50 radio stations, plus our internet presence. But we have a new show with Father Don Calloway, Father Mike Gately, Father Chris Allard. They're all Marian helpers from the Stockbridge, Massachusetts, and they're doing a show on explaining divine mercy once a week. We have another show on apologetics with Gary Machuda. We have another show with Matthew Arnold on being an on-fire Catholic. We have another show called Jesus 911, which is a spiritual warfare talk. Then we have Father Ripperger coming on in May, twice a month, with another show on spiritual warfare. So all that can be down. It's a free app on your smartphone. You can download the app and you can hear our show anywhere in the world or on several different AM stations. Now, I will just say this. We're not right versus left. We're right versus wrong. So it's straight talk Catholicism. And I think that your listeners would really enjoy hearing our programming because it's not light. It's Catholicism, you know, with a very strong C. And we teach what the Catholic Church teaches, the perennial teachings of the Church, and we don't go left or right. We go straight with what Jesus has taught. And that's what Virgin Most Powerful Radio is all about. And also, Doug, I might add, I did write a book, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone. It's a bestseller for Ignatius Press. Scott Hahn wrote my introduction. I even have the endorsement of Archbishop Gomez on the back where he says, and I paid him a lot of money to say this, Doug. He says, Terry Barber is one of the best evangelists in the Catholic Church today. So the president of the Bishops Conference endorses my book. And it's through Lighthouse, but it's also with Ignatius. And if people want to get it, it's at Virgin Most Powerful. So thank you for giving me an opportunity to plug what we're doing now.
Nice.
Yeah, Terry, I've known you for years, but from afar. I'm just meeting you tonight.
I hear you.
You guys that are on the circuit together, I've come to understand that you have a real fraternity and you've known each other for years. I'm just a lowly pastor in a country parish, you know. So yeah.
Who happens to be the person of Christ in persona Christi? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But it is great getting to know you and all these people. But I have admired you from afar and all your work, Terry. We're starting evangelization in our diocese, so maybe we can get you connected up with what we're doing here. Because we're in the conversation stages. Bishop is having everybody gather together and brainstorm, and I think we're going to launch, if I'm not mistaken, in Advent of this year. But anyway, so we should tap your stuff with that, especially when you paid so much for Archbishop Gomez to give you that.
Yeah, that's right, Richard. Yeah.
It's amazing what people say when you're right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So Terry. Obviously lots going on and you're talking to a lot of people and I know you have your own sense of what's going on too. And I think a lot of people are trying to figure this out, right? You know, what is going on? You know, you can see the raw evidence of what's going on that, there's a virus and there's a quarantine and, sure. and people are being, deny the sacraments and so it's not fun at all and some people are dying too, but do you have any theories or maybe what you've heard with so many people that you've come in contact with, what's going on, what's God up to, what do you think?
Well, I think two things. I think that I'm hoping, you know, God's permissive will is taking place here. We know that God's permitted this to take place. And I know that in salvation history, God always brings good out of bad things. And right. So I would just say that I hope our love for the Eucharist will grow because of people not receiving the Holy Eucharist. I hope and pray. And I make a suggestion to all of my listeners, because Bishop Sheen got me fired up about the Eucharist, to make a daily holy hour. Now, maybe you can't make a daily holy hour, but you could at least once a week spend time before our Eucharistic King. And I tell you what that will do for you, our listener. It will increase your love for Jesus Christ. I guarantee it. That's it. That's the way it works.
Terry, I've been telling people that if you can't make the holy hour, come early mass or stay late. The Lord's right there in the tabernacle. You know, spend some quiet time. Yeah. So you can't get away to get to church for that holy hour, but you can do that.
Right? Yeah, make a visit. Yep. I'm with you because I'm going to tell you. If people need to do this every day, ask Jesus Christ for more faith before the Eucharist and your life will change. That's a recommendation because Fulton Sheen said it, that your love will not last because you're strong. Your love will last for our Lord because you have the power to renew it. So renew your love before our Eucharistic King. And I tell you, your love for Jesus and the Eucharist will grow.
With that being said, Terry, also on the natural level, I know you and Jesse have addressed in several of your programs, you know, and Father and I have done several times too, that what's going on right now in our country, the lockdowns. I mean, the time we record this, and you know, one of the things we wanted to address was the fact that May 1st is a key day for many reasons. And Father Heilman wrote a great piece a couple of days ago on his page.
Yeah, I just wrote it this morning, actually. It's been festering for a couple of days, but yeah, I just put it out this morning.
Good. Well, let's talk about it.
It's been festering.
Yeah, it has. You know, I put it out. I put it out just a few hours ago. It's already got 1,000 shares.
Wow!
So it's resonating with people.
Yeah.
You don't want to sit and look at shares, but you wonder if it resonates, and that's the only thing.
Yeah, and likes and shares, especially with evangelization, does give you an indicator. They're benchmarks to let you know whether or not people are connecting with what you're trying to do.
Right.
But ultimately, I mean, you put this stuff out. We put this stuff out. I know all three of us do because we're trying to honor God, trying to, by the grace of God, hopefully reach lives and souls. And people listening right now and watching right now, please understand, when you like and share these types of things, whether it's social media posts or videos like our podcast or Terry and Jesse show or any of these things, you're letting other people have an opportunity to hear and know this stuff. And that's a critical effort right now that we have to be making, because there are a lot of people out there. And I know, Terry, we were talking about this before we even started recording. We've got this emperor has no clothes thing going right now. Doctor after doctor, study after study, telling us that this whole virus issue is not nearly what they told us it was going to be. Now, I'll be one to say this, and Father, you and I have talked about this a lot. In the beginning, with all the projections and all the models and all the concerns, until we had data and science and evidence, we did think it was good to err on the side of caution because of what we were being told.
But absolutely,
as all of this is unfolding and we're getting the facts and statistics from science, from the studies, from real-time experience, meaning that hospitals closing, doctors telling us what they're seeing and not seeing, and yet still there's this push from one side telling us, no, we got to keep hammering this. We got to clamp down. We got to lock everybody up. We're not going to get back to normal until there's a vaccine. And yet doctors are saying, wait a minute, you're quarantining the healthy.
Exactly.
You're quarantining the sick. And the healthy need to have an opportunity to develop their immune system. So with all of that, Terry, you and Jess, I know, have addressed some of these things. What's your take on all this?
Well, we just talked an hour on the radio today on that. People can go to our podcast to hear it. But the bottom line is you just nailed it when you said that the immune system needs to be out and involved with, you know, other people. Because if you live your life in a little shell and you never interact, it's actually weakening the immune system. This is what doctors say. I just talked to Dr. Bumgarner, a friend of mine in UCLA, world-renowned doctor. He said, this is, now that we've got the statistics out, we've been duped. He said, I'm the first one to say it. We should not be keeping the people in. Here's what I take on it. Okay, guys, and if I get a little political, I'm sorry. But I see politics being here. And that is Donald Trump, President Trump, has been the most pro-life president in my lifetime. He's
amen, up for brother.
Re-election. Okay, he's amen. Up for re-election. Yeah, in November, they've the other side has tried to take him out 3 or 4 times by all kinds of different ways, but accusations, impeachment. They haven't done it, and they're not going to give up. And so here's my take on all of this: that this is an opportunity for liberalism to say, "Look, we got to get rid of Trump, because if he gets in, he's going to name some more Supreme Court justices that will turn Roe versus Wade over." That's it. That's the gorilla that we're talking about. They don't want it.
Sure it is. And so
I'm just saying to myself that, hey, you know what? I think we need to call it for what it is. They're using this politically to try to make it so that a conservative president like Trump, especially on the pro-life, will not get reelected because they're scared to death that Roe versus Wade will come down. That's what I think, guys.
I agree.
I do too.
I think we're, you know, when you boil it all down, this is really a spiritual battle. I mean, this is literally the culture of life versus the culture of death.
Yep.
And that describes, you know, eternal realities, that supernatural realities, even, you know, the devil wants to destroy, it wants to kill.
Yep.
And God is in, you know, His Holy Spirit brings life. You know, it's all about life. And so, and you know, the call to be one of God's chosen ones. You talk about Fulton Sheen.
Yes,
I've been quoting him lately. I quote him all the time. But the thing I love lately is he's calling us to live the high life. Okay. And he said in this amazing quote, he says, you're called to be literally superior, not in any kind of, you know, bad way, but to live as supermen or godmen, he says. And so what? Oh, values, morals, virtues, principles, ethics, you know, all of that. And this is the natural law when you come down to it. But all of that, you know, is about lifting up a culture, right? It's yep. really the rock bed of all culture. Christianity, particularly Catholicism, has been the rock bed foundation of successful cultures all along. And here it is again. And so we're at war right now. We're at war right now. And it's boiled down to since 1973. This is a war of life versus death right now, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You nailed it, Father. Doug, what's your thoughts?
Well, I would add to that point of what you said too, Terry, is that it's a war between the culture of life, the culture of death. I mean, yes. I think that term was coined by John Paul II, St. John Paul II, this culture of death that we're in. You know, and I just put out a video within the last week, and just plugged my YouTube channel, and I got a video out called The New Normal in the Midst of This Global Pandemic.
I saw it. It's
the
great.
New Normal.
Yes.
Face it, we're in this idea of the new normal. We're all being told to accept that it's being thrown at us. And there are people who live in normalcy bias mentality. And anybody listening or watching, look, this normalcy bias mentality that we have, that we just can't imagine that there would be people out there so dastardly, so dark, that they would actually do these types of things in order to, as you mentioned, destroy Trump, destroy the economy. Yeah. I want to make something clear. And this is in the video, The New Normal, Global Pandemic. Check it out. And it's this, there are a group of people out there, and we know this, who are absolutely fine with destroying children in the wombs of their mothers. They're willing to destroy them. There's an article out there right now, live action just put out on recently on a doctor in New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico, who claims he's an ordained minister, and yet he thinks he's doing something compassionate. He admits, am I killing? Yes, I know I am, but it's compassion to help people who are in desperate situations. Now we have politicians from Schumer, Pelosi. Okay, we know who they are. Don't got to go through and name them all. They're adamant that abortion must continue. This is the group of people that we know we are contending with. And if we think for a moment that they wouldn't let the country's economy collapse, people be unemployed for the sake of pushing an agenda, then we are not paying attention to the evil that can actually be manifest through a person who chooses to cooperate with that evil. So we have got to wake up to the reality of this. But then, and Terry, Father, I know we're all in agreement on this. We have to respond. We can't just acknowledge that it's there. We have to respond. And
that's
it starts with what you were saying, both of you, about getting to adoration, getting before our Lord, physically getting in his presence. Obviously, we've got to be praying the rosary. We got to be getting the rosary prayed. We've got to be fasting, all these things. And that leads us up to May 1st is coming up. Father, this is the end of the 50th day novena right now. We got a major convergence happening on May 1st.
Yeah, let me talk about that.
Yes.
So it came to light for me. You know, listen, back in February, everything was percolating and it wasn't looking good with this whole virus and everything. But at that time, the stock market was kind of still holding its ground. And we weren't in quarantine just yet, but I said, you know, something's coming. So why don't we start praying? So it was at the end of February that I put out a call, and we would start on March 9th. Okay, now why March 9th? It's a 54-day rosary novena that would end. I felt the best day with everything being talked about. God bless Father Calloway and helping us to go to Joseph right now, Itia Joseph, So a lot about Joseph this year. I kind of think it's a year of Joseph. Anyway, so May 1st is the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. And what a great feast to end on, because, you know, a lot, the economy is threatened, and so are jobs, and And so, and Joseph is the protector and provider as the dad of the family. So, okay, so we set it up. Well, March 9th, when we started, that was the now they call that, that was a Monday. They call that now Black Monday. That was the worst stock market crash since the 2008 crash. And it just went down from there. So we've been in prayer, right? But now as we're getting closer, we're only a few days away. It's this Friday to May 1st. A few more things come to light. One, it's, and honestly, I didn't realize this when I did May 1st. I was all over St. Joseph's, the worker, but it's the first Friday of the month.
Amen.
So that's when we honor and pray the Sacred Heart of Jesus on every first Friday. And so, so there's that. So now you got Joseph the worker. Now you got Sacred. So you got Chaste Heart of Joseph. You got Sacred Heart of Jesus. Then, like two or three days ago, the bishops announced United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So nationwide, we are consecrating or reconsecrating ourselves, the whole nation, along with Canada, and they pick May 1st as the date to do it.
Yes.
So now you got Sacred Heart, Chaste Heart, Immaculate Heart, all happening on May 1st. Yeah. And the name of our novena that was conceived in February is called the Three Hearts Novena.
Wow. Okay.
And we had a plan since February that on May 1st, we would do the act of consecration to all three hearts on May 1st. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Pure coincidence, Father. That's all it is.
It's absolute coincidence. Yeah, so I'm saying, okay, this is big. Okay. Yeah. And here's the other thing that happened too, is that when we conceived this, they didn't even have quarantine dates, but they ended up having one that ended, I don't know when it was. It was like April 3rd or something like that, when the first date they did, but then they bumped it to what? To April 30th. So the first time, you know, the munchkins get to come out, you know, come out where the first time we get released according to this quarantine is May 1st. Okay. And that date appeared after we had already started the novena. So, and we see a lot of states now that are choosing May 1st.
Yeah.
I think they're mostly conservative states. I happen to have a liberal governor. And so ours got extended farther so far. We'll see. As the more data comes in and the models start to crash, as you guys have been talking about, I think, you know, I'm hopeful that the date will be closer than that. But here's the other thing too. As we were praying, if you guys remember going into Holy Week, they have these what do they call them? The where Trump's up there with all the experts every day, and they. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so yeah, they had one
well,
of those,
yeah, just or the, they had. The briefings, the news,
the briefings, right? So all the week before Holy Week, if you recall, they were like, "Now get ready, it's going to be horrible."
Yeah,
I mean, you just have to get ready. It's going to be so bad, and it wasn't. Okay, all the models started flattening during Holy Week instead of arching up. They all started flattening to the surprise and shock of all of them. And, God bless.
Yeah, Father, I just want to chime in for anybody out there who might understand what you're saying there is, every death, the tragedy of a death due to a sickness or illness is definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Understood.
That's not what we're saying. You're right. You're talking about when they were saying this was going to be our Pearl Harbor. That's one thing we heard.
Right.
This was going to be so
like 2.2 million deaths.
Yeah, the
right?
numbers were at first Remember they were 2.2 million. Then they lowered them to about 100,000 to 240,000, and then they lowered it to about 60,000. And now, at the time we record this, there are multiple stories coming out of the question as to what is being put on the death certificate and whether or not these numbers are being gamed or ramped up. Doctors are saying it. Studies are showing it. Many places, the CDC has been encouraging, if someone dies in a car accident, but they test positive for COVID, they're putting that down. These types of things are being reported by doctors themselves on this. And so, you know, I know, Terry, you got a couple of doctors out there in Bakersfield.
Yes. Yep.
I know you addressed this on a show. They've been saying this sort of thing. So I know you're familiar with this.
I'm very familiar with it, Doug. And this is a fear tactic. It really is. It brings fear into people that they can't go out. And look at, I actually have a, we did a mental health conference with Dr. Sandoval on Saturday. And that was one of the questions. We had, you know, 1,200 people online listening to this conference on mental health and spiritual warfare. And that was one of the issues he addressed as a psychiatrist, a Catholic psychiatrist, that this is driving people to bad mental health, bad spiritual health because of fear. And you remember what the gospel said 365 times, you know, fear is useless. And so we as Christians have to have this attitude of gratitude and not take, in my humble opinion, this fear has driven people to be scared to do anything. Even the very fact of like they're paralyzed. People are paralyzed by this. And this isn't right. And we know it's not right. And this is why I'll just throw one more thought in and I'll throw it back. Our Lady of Fatima said, souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. How many people right now are praying for the conversion of sinners? And it might be their son, their daughter, their husband, and making sacrifices for this to take place because they're scared to do anything right now. I have to say, Doug and Father, fear is useless right now. And I just want to encourage our listeners to go take the supernatural approach that God has allowed this to happen, but we're going to make good come out of all this because of our prayers and our actions. That's my take.
You know, if we're going to pray, we're going to hope that God intervenes, but how would he do that? Well, wouldn't he make the situation less worse than what they first calculated it would be? And that seems to be what's happening is, you know, a lot of people want to say, oh, it's not even as bad as the flu, or it's like the flu in terms of numbers. I'm not ready to go there, but I do think that we are seeing these extreme calculations, you know, flattening down, and it and this is what I think needs to happen in order for us to go to a ball game or a football game and sit shoulder to shoulder with each other again. I think it does have to get to a point where you go, okay, it's pretty bad, but you know, it's not so bad that you have to worry so much that you can't go to a ball game with each other.
And
it seems to be heading in that direction, at least, you know, and I'm naively hopeful, but, you know, as I see the numbers coming in and I see, you know, it becoming something else, I'm just going, I'm kind of rooting it on, you know, that please God, you know, let it be not as severe as they first calculated it to be. Right. And again, you're right, Doug. People are dying from this. My nephew almost died from H1N1. He was on a ECMO machine, and I told the whole story about that. We had a miraculous recovery from him because the doctor said he's gone, you know. Wow. But so people can die from viruses and flus, and it's tragic. It's tragic. But should we, you know, stop, you know, sit next to each other at a football game from here to eternity because a small percentage of our population might die from that, right?
Father, if I can jump in and just say, we might be burning our village down by the antidote of what we're saying, people indoors, stop the economy. I think there's more damage. I mean, Catholic theology, we talk about, you know, what's proportionate. In other words, if somebody comes into my house, folks, I'm going to stop them from killing my wife and children. And if I shoot them, then you know what? I use proportionate measures to stop them. Here's my question, and this is a prudential decision. And that is, and this is why I'm asking, there's a push right now to ask our bishops to open up the churches. If going and buying beer and going to get marijuana out here in California, I can do that right now, but I can't go and pray before the Blessed Sacrament. I just think there's something wrong here, Father, as a layman.
A lot of people are thinking that way.
Yeah, just let us come out, and we'll use social distancing and all that. But to stop people from coming to church, I think, in my humble opinion, I'm not in management, I'm in sales. So I can only say that I'm asking our bishops with respect, like Janet Smith did with the We Are an Easter People, to encourage our bishops to open up our churches as soon as possible so that we can have the benefit of the sacraments, because canon law says it at the end. What's number one? The salvation of souls. So I think that sometimes we might be too conscious about our physical being, because the last time I looked, nobody gets out alive. We're all going to die. But what about our spiritual life? I just want to encourage our leaders in our church, and I'll say it humbly, and that is, please give us the sacraments.
Yeah, and I echo that as well. Yeah. Father?
I was just going to say, you know, as these numbers are changing, I'm starting to get on that bandwagon. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, mm-hmm. that what we were told by experts, mm-hmm. the numbers were, we were in essence told, if not directly told, that if you get it and you are asymptomatic for a period of time, you can carry that then to, you know, 10 people who carry to 10. So all of a mm-hmm. sudden we're being told, you're going to kill 100 people if you get it. Yeah. And you know, so in that sense, I really give the bishops a pass mm-hmm. based on the information they had.
Sure.
Yeah. But what I'm saying now, and why I'm saying I'm starting to get on the bandwagon, is that all those models are crashing.
Right? That's right.
It's not as bad as they said it was going to be. And it's starting to get really close to the numbers of the flu in a typical season. I started checking all this stuff. You know, that there were, I think, 60 million people, 60, 80 million people between 2017, 2018, that year, had the flu.
You know,
and 80,000, I think, died. I think I'm right about those numbers, but
you are.
They're right around there. So, mm-hmm. yes, we've only had this since maybe January, some are speculating now. So, but the flu season, if you look at the graphs, that's when the flu season basically is around that time. So anyway, my naively hopeful, I'm hoping that the numbers come down enough to give the bishops enough confidence mm-hmm. that we're not going to catch it and kill 100 people, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And on that point too, I mean, and I know, again, Terry, you and Jesse have covered this on your show.
Sure.
Those two doctors in Bakersfield really cover it thoroughly when they say that the numbers have been padded. We know this. Many doctors have reported this. So Dr. Scott Jensen has reported this out of Minnesota, Senator That's Scott right. Jensen.
Yeah, I heard Philadelphia had to turn in like thousands of cases that they got caught.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And investigations going on, it's been reported at least, that in New York, the same thing. They just threw another 3,700 on but they didn't test them. They said that we presume. So anyway, we know this is going on. There's some funny business going on. But all that being said, the numbers, you're right. The death toll of 80,000 roughly from the flu. Those two doctors in California said every year between 40,000 and 60,000 plus every year at least die from flu-related situations. Now, there's a study out there by Reuters right now, and you see this on the screen right here now, and it states that in four U.S. state prisons, nearly 3,300 inmates test positive for coronavirus, but 96% have no symptoms.
That's right.
Now, I just want to bring this up because this is something we hear a lot about. A meatpacking plant in South Dakota was shut down. A lot of meatpacking plants have been shut down. They say that 300 people tested positive with this coronavirus. My question is, have we not been trained that when we hear someone tests positive, we almost automatically associate that with some sort of crisis for that person? So 300 test positive, then does that mean all 300 are being hospitalized?
No.
Or based on the models that and the information that's coming out now, we're seeing, like those in the state prison, 96% have no symptoms. So is the panic been connected, this guilty by association? If you're testing positive, automatically you're seriously ill, when that isn't the case. Though I know there are people, last week we had Dan Burke on, and Terry, you know Dan as well.
We had him too on,
He had a serious, serious situation, but his was unique, and that is the case for some. But again, it's not for most. Now, I just want to throw this in too. If we do not have the grace of God, if we don't have access to sacraments, we can't get into the churches to pray, then our coping skills, and my son mentioned this earlier today, we were talking about this, our coping skills, our coping ability with crisis is diminished, and we turn to worldly coping issues.
Amen.
And crutches. And so we've got child abuse is up, child molestation is up, addiction to drugs, alcohol, gambling, pornography, spousal abuse, suicide. All of these areas are spiking. And crime. We know this. What is it? Crime.
Crime also. It's way up. Every major city, way up. Why? Tell them why, Doug. Why is crime? Why are people? I'll tell you why. Idle hands, man.
Yeah.
When people aren't at work, guess what they're doing sometimes? Bad things. So you nailed it, Doug. That you make a great point. That I agree with everything you said.
Yeah, we remove ourselves from the grace of God.
That's right.
We have fear constantly being thrown at us and shoved down our throats from one side.
Yep.
And then we've got anything that the president does, and not to make this political, but Terry, Father and I have never shied away from the politics with regards to our society.
Yeah.
And Trump says something, President Trump says something even positive, whether it's hydroxychloroquine
or
some statement about disinfectant, and immediately the press tries to destroy. They just want to destroy. And you know what? This is the sort of thing that is part and parcel of the culture of death, to only destroy, only undermine, only tear down anything hopeful coming out of this president. Whether you like him or not, he is trying to bring new ideas. He's trying to push the research and study on new methods to try to care for people, new medicines and so forth. It's a culture of death against a culture of life battle. But if we don't have the grace of the sacraments and prayer, but you know, Father, I agree with you as well. You know, the bishops were going off of the information that they were given at the time.
Yeah, sure.
We have to understand that. That's true.
Yep.
Now that information has changed. The evidence is different.
It's changing.
What was that?
Yeah. It's in the process.
You said it's changed.
Every day.
And I agree, but I think for them, it's changing.
Yeah, it is.
In the sense that, can they really pull the trigger just yet? I'm not sure.
No, they got to be careful.
Yeah, we're getting YouTube videos from two ER doctors in California that are questioning these things. Now, can the bishops move on that information? You know, but I do believe. See, that's why we got to keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. It's like we're praying the models down.
Yeah.
You know, God, we're praying the models down so that, and I do believe this isn't going to go away until the narrative changes to, you know what, we had to be careful, but it wasn't anywhere near what we thought it was, okay?
Right. Right.
So now you don't have to worry. Everybody doesn't have to wear a mask. And, you know, you don't have to sit 6 feet apart at a baseball game, you know, a football game, because we got the models wrong. That's what I'm praying for.
Amen.
That's what I'm hoping for. You know, and it seems like it's heading that way. But I don't know if the bishops can act on YouTube videos from ER doctors in California just yet. I think it's got... But it's happening. It's being questioned. They're looking at it again. And I think it's going to kick up to the experts and they're going to finally go, you know, here's the numbers now.
Terry, though, you said, and on Father's point, Terry, you said something earlier about, I mean, do you think, Terry, that we're in a position where we should be given a bit more of the benefit of the doubt that we're not going to be idiots about this, and maybe we can figure out some of this on our own a little bit. So give us a little more, let us out of the house so we can start running our decisions a little differently.
Yeah, because this is, like many of my doctor friends have said, it's very unhealthy. You don't quarantine healthy people. We've never done that before. So my question is, why are we doing it now? Okay. And my doctor friends have told me, they're Catholic doctors and even nurses, that this is, goes against everything we've learned about disease. And so I want to give the benefit of the doubt to the bishops too. I mean, I've got very close friends that are bishops, but I also want to say that I think we have to have a supernatural outlook on this whole COVID-19 and realize that our prayers are going to have an effect on this. And so, you know, if we practice social distancing when we come into church to make our holy hour, and or we got an outdoor mass, you know, where, you know, this is so we can avoid having any contact right in place. But none of that, in many dioceses, it's just shut down. It's like, that's it, guys, we're closed. And so I know I might be a little critical, But, you know, I'm not in management. I'm in sales. I want to evangelize people, but I don't want to shut everything down because we're scared. And it acts, I see in many cases of the church, they're acting like they're scared to death that if we open up the church, someone's going to get sick and they're going to sue us, or it's going to get all of it's going to be a bad scene. I would just say that we should at least, like you said, Father, slowly open up the churches, because I'm going to tell you, I believe that there's going to be different types of people. One, they're not going to come back because they got a bad habit for not going to church on Sunday. Mm. Number two, the other kind of person is going to come back and say, Jesus, I'll never take it for granted that I received Holy Communion like it was my first Holy Communion. That's right. The attitude we're supposed to have. But man, I haven't been to Mass. I'm going to tell you off the air. No, I'm going to say it on the air. I went to confession last week. Okay. I did. We had a funeral at our chapel with 10 people. We were within the right. It was a private chapel, and the Norbertines come up. Well, three priests. I said, Father, would you hear my confession? Absolutely. Because he was implementing the code of canon law that says, when someone asks me to go to confession, and Father Hyman, I know right now that, I'll just be honest with you, you're the kind of guy, if I remember reading it, that you make the sacraments available, like you have like a place where I think they can just come to a rectory or something and then just pop in. I want to go to
confession. Yeah, the front foyer of my rectory repurposed into a confessional.
Thank you. Yeah. You see my point, Father.
You wouldn't believe how many confessions I've heard through this court.
I
can't be on the phone with anybody for more than 5 minutes because the doorbell rings and sorry, I got to go another confession. You know.
Well, thank you for it's doing awesome, that. It's awesome, though. And I want to see more of that kind of attitude. And I won't say more. I could tell some stories the last 6 weeks where I've seen heroic priests. I have a priest friend who just has the rectory door open. And he's there 8 hours a day. He's a Monsignor friend of mine. And he hears lots of confessions every single day. Because guess what? I advertise it for him. I tell him, you want to go to confession? Go see this priest. Go see this priest.
Nice.
See, we need that because people need the grace of the sacraments. That's what I'm trying to say.
I used to have an app where you could check and see if I was available by the app. By the way, if there are any app developers out there, it crashed twice already, and I could use some help.
Please, I think I can send somebody your way. I got
here's a picture. Here's a picture right here of that confessional you're talking about. So people can see this is what Father's setup is, and I know Father, you've
pretty
done
this cool.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome, and I know at one point Father,
I bore a hole in my office door, made a screen.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And when you were out of Clorox wipes at one point, you mentioned to people if anybody had any extra, and then you had like what 7 or 8 containers brought to you.
I have 8 containers
down the area.
Yeah, that is hilarious. Yeah.
I said, by the way, I'm out of gold bars of gold too. If anybody,
that one has you did get coffee. You got some coffee though.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I just commented, and I was serious about this. I said, you know, I ran out of coffee, but I'm just going to give it up. And everybody's just like panicking because I said that. And all of a sudden, I've got 6 bags of coffee that people sent me. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, they just left it on your steps, though, right? I mean, they didn't even come to the door. They just left
it. Yeah. Most of them were mailed to me.
Awesome.
Through the post office. Yeah. Same with the wipes. It was all mailed to me.
Now, Father, to give maybe some priests and others who might be listening some ideas, what are you doing based on the restrictions and the rules and the regs of your diocese right now, of your state, to be able to offer masses and sacraments for people? With regards to the mass, you're doing something about that, aren't you?
Well, we're live streaming. I had that equipment up and running, and all my brother priests around me quickly got it up and running. Mm-hmm. And so that's helping. In our diocese, and I know we're one of the looser ones, God bless Bishop Hying, but we have the church open all day so people can come in and pray before the Blessed Sacrament. And I think we go, I have a 7:30 mass. So from 8 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock at night, we keep it open. People can come in as long as there's less than 10 people in there. Mm-hmm. We've been doing adoration. We do that twice. We do it every Friday and then on first Saturdays all day long. The other thing I did too is I wanted to make as many sacramentals as possible available to people. So I created this system where my screen porch is actually the drive of that. When you drive up to my house, you can, the driveway goes all the way to the back of my house, and you can just keep going if you want, but you can stop there at the screen porch, go up on my picnic table, and I've got holy water, exercise and blessed salt. I got Epiphany holy water, the real powerful stuff. I got blessed palms. I've got green scapulars.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so I try to put as much out there because I think people are looking, you know, people are frightened right now and they want to have the strength of the sacramentals around them.
Amen.
So I've been trying to make those available.
Father, yeah. You're a model for the whole country. That in my, it's right. I'm in the largest diocese in Los Angeles. Are you ready? We have 5 million Catholics, probably more people in your whole state. And we have all of our churches closed, okay? And people are just coming to me and asking me, what do we do? And I won't say, but I make sure that people can still make visits to the Blessed Sacrament. I'll just say that right on the air. I don't care. Yeah. And the reason I say that, as long as it's under 10 people, I do exactly what you're doing.
That's right.
And praise God for priests like you. And I would encourage any priest that's listening to mimic that and to model that, because I mean, what does Bishop Sheen say? If souls are saved, everything is saved. If souls aren't saved, nothing is saved.
Right.
Yeah. Bishop Sheen. Yeah. He was kind of soft on this stuff, if you ask me.
Full Sheen ahead.
But now, Terry.
Full Sheen ahead.
Yeah. That's good. That is good. Yeah. And Bishop, you earlier, Terry, you were talking about, you know, the fact that there's a moment of suffering going on here for all of us. It's a sacrifice of suffering of some sort. I wouldn't encourage anybody out there. I mean, for me, my ministry work, we got hit between the eyes within a matter of a few days. I had months of conferences and parish missions lined up, just canceled.
Boom,
like that. So financially. I mean, so I'll throw this out at this point. We have we've been very blessed, thank God, with a number of patrons who are supporting this podcast.
Good.
You know, we've got actually for the patrons out there, I want to say this. Father Heilman and I have discussed this. We're doing some bonus footage. So for our patrons, you get bonus footage now. We're going to be doing a little extra with Terry here at the end of the show. If you're a patron, you're going to get some bonus footage. And Father and I... Terry, you and Jesse might want to try this. Might be kind of fun, though you have your daily show. But Father and I are going to do a special episode of Father Heilman and Doug Berry answer any and all questions you might have.
Awesome.
Any patrons out there, you can reach us through Patreon and just email any question you want. Father Heilman and I are going to record an episode just answering the questions. And you can do it through the comment section as well on the podcast. So any patron out there who signed up through Patreon, you're going to get a special Father Heilman and Doug answer whatever question you want. So that's going to be coming really soon. So start getting questions to us so we can do that. Anyway, all that being said, I wanted to let people know we're going to launch that. But all that being said, you know, we're at this moment where a lot of people are hurting and suffering. Now, Fulton Sheen said at one point, and Terry, I know you know this.
Sure.
The problem in our world is not all the suffering.
Right.
The problem is all the wasted suffering.
Amen.
That if we took the suffering that we go through, so whether we've been, maybe you're laid off as, you know, somewhat financially, I have been to a degree, you know, we've all had some impact on this. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you've been through something, you know, for 10 years, I've been struggling with this chronic illness that I've got, you know. Grace of God, there's a lot of improvement, you know, but Terry, I know you and Jesse and others were praying hard for me when
Absolutely.
I was really at a low point with the sickness a few years back.
Yep.
I tried to remember when I was sick, as I try to remember no matter when I'm going through suffering, what Fulton Sheen said, don't waste the suffering, use it. And you know, Father Heilman, you could speak to this. This was always something that the Catholic Church kind of taught, wasn't it? Was offer it up. Offer it up, unite it to the cross and offer it up. You know, Terry, what do you mean, your thoughts on Fulton Sheen's words on offering suffering and just in general, uniting it with the cross, using it as a spiritual weapon in times like this.
Yeah. Well, Bishop Sheen said it this way. Every action is like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. And I think of what Sheen talked, I put it in my book, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone. Hospitals could become atomic power plants if they understood how to offer their suffering in union with the sufferings of Christ. Doug, you've quoted all the time, First Colossians, I fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the good of the church. So what are we saying? Mom, dad, the kids, grandma, yes, everyone. we can offer up our little things every day for the salvation of souls, I believe that the world would be converted if everybody understood redemptive suffering. Because as they say, hospitals become atomic power plants because now there's no wasted pain. People are understanding that they can unite their sufferings with the sufferings of Christ. Amen to that, brother.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
You know, I lift weights when we're not quarantined, and but it's called resistance training, right?
Yeah.
So you're pressing up the weights, and your muscle is getting bigger. Okay, you're getting stronger. That's a lot what we're talking about here. Okay. And I, what comes to mind even is you know, the family with the 5 or 10 kids or whatever, and it's time to go to mass. I mean, that takes a lot, you know? Okay. So it's like you're lifting the weights, but you see, you can offer that up and you get stronger because you're resisting against desires to want to take the easy way, desires to want to, you know, not be inconvenienced. And all of this makes us stronger by pressing through that and offering it up to God. See, we become stronger in our faith because of that. So, well said, so if I can, I'm looking at the clock right now, and if I can let that be a segue then into back to May 1st, okay,
right,
which is coming up this Friday, okay. So, here's what we're asking people to do: is to join together to be a force to be reckoned with, along with the bishops who are consecrating United States and Canada together. They're doing it at 3 p.m. Eastern time, okay? That's what it is. So if it's possible at all, and I think it's going to be a lot more possible for people in this quarantine time, but if you could time your rosary, and also you can go to Roman Catholic Man, and I'll also put it on usgraceforce.com, but you can find where I have the article about this day, May 1st, and also the link to the three prayers, the acts of consecration that we can pray to the Sacred Heart, to the Immaculate Heart, and to the Chaste Heart. That's what we're going to do together, along with the rosary, as we seek to consecrate the United States. So, and again, for a lot of people, this isn't hard. Just like somebody who has a lot of muscle, the weight goes up easy, right?
Yep.
But press through that and be a part of this amazing prayer campaign. This, I believe, is our spiritual D-Day.
Amen.
All this is aligning together, and we're all being called to prayer. I had Taylor Marshall, he texted me and said he wanted to see if we could all do it at 3 o'clock too. And I'm also in what's called the it's CEMA. It's the Coalition of Eucharistic and Marian Apostolates. And we get together on conference calls and Zoom meetings. We just had one today. All the Marian Apostolates are all doing this as well, okay? So it's a big, big deal, and we want everybody to be a part of it as we pray. And God can do whatever he wants, obviously, but I'm praying that this big deal becomes the little deal because we called out to God and he answered our prayers. Amen.
Amen. Amen to that.
Yeah. Let me throw this in too on that point for anybody out there listening or watching. Look, there's a lot of complaining going on, understandably, about what's happening right now in our world. And this was going on before even this Chinese Wuhan coronavirus thing hit. And we understood it. Abortion, contraception, which rarely gets preached about, the evil of contraception, evil of it. Pornography addiction, human trafficking. We can go down the line. You got it. You know it's out there.
Right.
We know it. Now, we wanted God to do something. A lot of Christians, a lot of Catholics are saying, please, Lord, do something, bring some help. And then we get hit with something like this, which gives us an opportunity to reset, really recheck ourselves.
Right.
It's a bit of a Father, you and I have called it a form of chastisement to discipline lovingly right. God's children. Kind of a timeout, as you've been saying, Father.
A timeout.
All that being said, now we've got another reason for us to go, oh my goodness, you know, Lord, what do we do? What do we do? And there's complaining
right.
and there's concern. Okay, now we have an opportunity to join forces, to come together, to really make a difference.
Amen,
on May
brother.
1st, Feast of St. Joseph. All right.
Yes.
Who's given the title? The Terror
First
of
Friday, Jesus. Sacred. Terror yep. And Friday's Sacred Friday. Heart.
Yep.
Yeah.
On the first Friday. And
the consecration to Mary. Three hearts, baby.
Mary. Yeah. So listen.
Big day.
No reason to make excuses. No reason to complain. We have an opportunity to join forces. Now, we got to remember this too. In order to win World War II, the Allies had to fight not one, not two, not three battles. They had many beach invasions, many moments of combat. Many times they airdropped into enemy territory. We have got to hit this over and over and over and over again. Right. We cannot tire. Just because we don't get the results immediately, we have got to realize that we're fighting a culture of death that is entrenched in many hearts and souls. We want to pray all those hearts and souls, but we need to put our money where our mouth is. When the rubber hits the road, stop making excuses. Grab that rosary. All right. Make those steps necessary. Terry, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts, you sound like it's the end of the Terry and Jesse show. What you guys are saying, we call it the Five Stones of David. You know, pray the rosary, Eucharistic adoration, read your Bible, go to confession, and fast and pray. Those are the five stones we end every show.
I love it.
Nice.
And then what we say is, what state, let's see if Doug remembers this. Doug, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace.
You got, what state
should state we of grace, be living baby.
In? For a second.
I'm sorry, what was that?
What state shouldn't we be living in, brother?
State of mortal sin.
You got it. And Father, that's what we end every day our show with, is the five stones of David. And then we tell people to live in the state of grace. And if we're living in the state of grace, you know, life is short and eternity is forever. If we really believe in the supernatural, that we die in the state of grace, are you kidding me? That's the greatest thing to have happen to us. I mean, we all pray for a holy death, right? I mean, I've heard you guys talk about praying for a holy death. Right. A holy death is living in the state of grace when you die. And, if like what St. Augustine said, you know, if you pray well, you'll live well and all that. But if you die well, all will be well. There you go, guys. That's my final thought.
Good. It's good.
God love you. Terry, this has been awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. You know, like I say, I've been a fan from afar, and I finally got to spend some time with you, and I hope we can do more of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I want you guys on our show, too. Again, Terry and Jesse on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And I just
Jesse's
encourage
okay.
your listeners to support you, not just spiritually, but those patrons. Make those donations to this podcast, because, you know, you guys, what you're doing is so important to Holy Mother, the Church. You're reaching souls with the message of Christ. And right now, we need that more than ever. So I would encourage your listeners
to get behind you
100%. That's my take.
Appreciate that. God appreciate love that. You. Thank you, brother.
All right. Should we close with a prayer?
You bet.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Awesome. Thank you. I love you, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
Full sheen ahead, fellas.